Hallelujah. I have a special number to sing. It's hymn number 236. If you know it, you join me. When Jesus comes to reward his servant, when I have been known all night, faithful to him, will he find us watching with our lamps of dream and say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul bright home. Say we live by you and me, still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come. It's a question for somebody here. Down of the early morning, he shall call us one by one. When to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, already for the soul's bright hope? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? To the trust he left us, do we seek to do our best?
Yes, sir.
Deep in our heart there is blood condemned us, we shall have a glorious rest.
Yes, sir.
Oh, can we say we are ready, ready for the soul's bright hope? Say we define you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come. Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in his glory they shall share. If he should come at the dawn of midnight, will he find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright hope? Say when we find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come. If I die, shall call us one by one. Pray to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, you and me still summarizes all we've been teaching concerning the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Why are we emphasizing all this? Why does the Holy Ghost want us to know how to operate those gifts? Most paramount, it is for two major reasons, among other reasons, but two major reasons. Because remember, the gifts, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, is for edification of the body. It is for exhortation of the body. It is for the comfort of the body of Christ. Remember that the Holy Ghost is known as the Comforter. Why? The Bible says, all them that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. There are ups and downs. That's why the songwriter who caught that revelation said, on the mountain, in the valley, on the land, and in the sea, in every situation, hallelujah, that you find yourself, blessed be the name of the Lord. Always know, remember, it is part of the journey of this Christian walk. There are times you will be on top of the mountain where you receive cool breeze, everything smooth, 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 everything smooth, smooth, smooth. But there are times also when you'll be in the valley. There are difficult times for a Christian. And in those difficult moments, you need a comforter. That is what the Holy Ghost is given for. Hallelujah. For edification of the body. So that is the main reason, the first reason. The second reason, why? You must know how to operate this gift. It's because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, for we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment is not judgment unto condemnation. It's not a white throne judgment where unbelievers are going to be destroyed. It's not hellfire. No. This is for the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because once you are saved, forever you are saved. That's a hard say, isn't it? Denominations don't like to hear that statement. People don't like to hear that once you are saved, you can never be lost again. Amen. And that is one of the greatest mysteries of salvation. That's something that you should know to keep you going, keep you moving. That is what you see when you fall down. Stand up, clean yourself again, and continue the journey. When you fall, don't say, hey, I have lost my salvation. No, don't say so. That's a wrong teaching. The righteous falleth how many times? 7 times, but he shall surely rise again. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Why? Once the marriage has taken place, once God hates divorce, once you are married, it is for better, for worse, until death do us part. But this marriage with Jesus Christ is an eternal marriage. Do you know the meaning of eternal life? Do you know the meaning of eternal life, sister? Eternal life is an endless life. A life that has no end. So how can he give you eternal life today and end it when it is impossible to end it? You did not receive everlasting life. There's a difference between everlasting life and eternal life. Everlasting has an end. But eternal has no end. Oh, glory be to God. the life that God gives us is eternal life. How many people have received eternal life here? Hey! Wait, put down your hand first. You didn't understand me. Eh? I didn't say everybody put up your hand. I say, if you have received eternal life, hey, not because somebody say, sister, you see, you have eternal life. You see, you receive eternal life. So you have eternal life, you see. Your pastor is the one that says you have eternal life. Ha, your pastor cannot give you eternal life. Praise the Lord. No. He's deceiving you. Any man that tells you, brother, from today you have eternal life, he's deceiving you. No man can give you eternal life. Praise the Lord. It is only Jesus Christ that can give you eternal life. Hallelujah. And it is Jesus Christ that can confirm to you that you have eternal life. How? For the Spirit of God bearing witness with my spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not your pastor bearing witness with you, but the Spirit of God bearing witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. That is the witness. Now, when you are sure you have received that eternal life, hallelujah, praise the Lord. God chooses us. One of the reasons he has saved us, one of the reasons he has saved us is to express himself through us. That's the reason. God cannot be seen. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time. No man has ever seen God. And I believe no man will ever see him. I sincerely believe that even angels, none of them have seen him. I believe with the whole of my heart that even angels, none has seen him. You can only see his similitude, and you may hear his voice. You can hear his voice, but you can't see him, because the day you see him, you will be able to draw him. You can draw his picture. Hallelujah. Then you can say, this is how God looks like. Then you may put that picture somewhere in your room and be bowing down to it, because that is him. Hallelujah. But this God, there are two reasons why you cannot see him. Number two, he is too large. He is too big. So big, until if you want to see his end, if he stand before you, you can't see his end. If you look to the right, he full everywhere. If you look to the left, you don't see his end. If you want to see how his head looks like, he's still so tall, you try to see, you will not be able to see his head. He's so big. Praise God. Secondly, hallelujah, he is too glorious to behold. That is why he said, no man can see me and live. The presence of his glory come down. You can't withstand him. Those who are light in the spirit, they are those that God has permitted them small to smell his presence. You know what I mean? Just to smell, to sense and smell and sense his presence. So once his presence just come down, bah, you go see them, they fall under anointing. He never touched them. They just sense, say, be like say in there around. It be like say in there around. They go begin to fall under anointing. Amen. And praise God. Well, what I'm trying to say is that God decided to express himself for the whole world to know that there is a living God. The average carnal man does not believe there is God, because he cannot see him. And once they cannot see anything, they will not believe. And so science has become their form of worship. They want to prove everything by physically confirming it. But this God is a spirit, not physical. And because he is not physical, he said we have to worship him by faith. By faith there is by revelation. God decided to choose a certain number of people on earth. He called his servants. He called his children. Remember, there are two groups of people, even in the church, in the whole world. We have the servants of God and we have the sons and daughters of God. Because you may be a servant of God and may not be his child. I hope we know that. I hope I'm talking to revelated people. Hallelujah. You can be a servant of God without being his child. The Bible referred to Nebuchadnezzar as God's servant. The Bible referred to Pharaoh as God's servant. Praise the Lord. Now, to express himself. Amen. To express his attributes. God is a God of attributes. To express himself, he will choose a group of people. I hope you know, it was because God wanted to express himself. That's why he allowed the children of Israel to go to Egypt for bondage. So that at the appropriate time, he will come down and show the whole world that there is a God in heaven. That was the whole purpose. Because he will come, he said, Moses, go to Pharaoh. Tell him that I say he should let my people go. And the same God will go to Pharaoh again and harden his heart to make him refuse. I hope you understand what I mean. Hallelujah. The same God will go back there and say, and then tell Moses, say, go back and tell him, oh, if he doesn't let my people go, this is what I will do to them. He will go back, the God will go back to Pharaoh again and harden his heart to refuse. Why was he doing that? So that he can turn the whole water to blood. So that he will do things that no man has ever seen before. So that they will know that truly there is a God somewhere in existence. That is higher than the gods of Egypt. And at the end, hallelujah, he left. Because you can't deal with a child of God and go free. He turned God's children to slaves. And he was meant to destroy them. Even after they went, he told them again. It's the same God that pushed Pharaoh and his army. Follow them, because he has reserved his seed to destroy them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has another attribute that is a mighty one in battle. How will he express that he fights battle? A journey that will take 40 days to the promised land. He decided to take the route that he will follow, the route that he will be looking for trouble in all those nations. He could have followed another place. No. He decided to follow where the Moabites are, where the Philistines are. When he reached that, then they will stop there. You will not pass. Then there will be battle. And the God of Israel will come down and fight the battle for his children. That is our God, to express his attributes. That is one of the reasons he gives us the gifts. Remember, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ came to show us the way to heaven. Amen. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Listen, church. When Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it means he is in front. He is the one that will lead you. He's the one that will lead you. You just follow him. Apostle Paul said, follow me. Even as I am a follower of Christ. As he's following Christ, because Christ is the leader. All of us are to line up. But this leadership is not express way that he's constructing. Oh, he's not using caterpillar. It is an expression of attributes. If he says, I am the way, it means he is going to teach you the true worship of the living God. He's going to be an example of a true child of God. You have to understand that. He becomes a standard bearer. He came to show us the acceptable worship before God. He said, no man can come to the Father except through me. Through me there is that you will listen to what he's telling you. You will follow his commandment. If you stop to listen to him, you will never make it to heaven. The way is the way of righteousness. And when I say righteousness, I am not speaking about don't drink, don't smoke, don't cheat, don't eat. There are people that are not drinking, they are not smoking, they are not cheating, yet they will not go to heaven. It's far more than that. Far, far, far more than that. Praise the Lord. My emphasis is this, that it is for him to express himself. The manifestation of the Spirit is the gifts of the Spirit. It's the gifts of the Spirit. All the gifts you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Christ manifested all of them. All those 9, 10, 11 gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He manifested all of them. And when he ascended up, he came back to the church. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he poured those gifts and left the gifts before us. Luke chapter 19 says he told us, occupy till I come. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So that leads us to the second reason. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The second reason for the gifts. Why you must operate the gifts properly. I said the first reason is because the gift is given for edification, for comfort, and for exhortation. And you must do it properly. You must use the gift properly to achieve these three gifts. I mean, these three purposes. And then the second one, of course, is because why you must operate the gift properly is because one day after we have gone in the rapture, we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he will tell us, what did we do with the talents? That is what that song is saying here. The second stanza says, if at the dawn of the early morning, he shall call us one by one, when the Lord, before the Lord, we restore our gifts. Will he answer thee, well done? The songwriter here in hymn number 236 was inspired, certainly. He said, when he will tell you, will he tell you, well done? When you restore this gift, when we shall call what he has given us, he will come and say, one by one, oh yeah, I gave you this gift. What have you done with it? And I say that your ministry, and every one of us here, born again, we are ministers. Why do I say we are ministers? There are different categories of ministers. But you are certainly one category. Because chapter 4 speaks about telling us about how we are joints in one body, and every joint is supplying something to the body. And so once you are born again, you become a part of that body, functioning, a functional part of that body. There's something you are supplying to that body. That thing you are doing to supply something to the body of Christ, it is the ministry. And once you are born again, a gift must flow. A gift will manifest. That gift determines what part you have to play in the body of Christ. Not the one you want to play. You see? But the one that he, God, Christ himself, saw you fit and placed you. And we make a lot of mistakes when it comes to the service of God. Sometimes we are, you see you are hand, but you are performing the function of leg. And when hand begins to function like leg, what will happen? Eventually, the hand will have problem. You will be tired. Anybody that starts ministry and later on he pack up say, I don't serve God again, it is because you were not serving him where God wanted you to be. Hallelujah. There is nothing that will stop this hand from functioning as a hand. I hope we know that. Until you die, or until something happens and the hand is cut off. Unless that hand is cut off. Praise the Lord. Even if the hand is cut off, now science know the importance of a hand, so they will carve wood and put it there. Because there must be hand for the body to be normal. It's so important. Search for your part in the ministry and the evidence that it is your portion in the ministry. Number one, it comes with a burden. It comes with a burden. If you have a healing gift, for instance, it doesn't just come like this. You pray for people, they receive healing. No. There will be a burden inside of you that when you see somebody sick, you are not happy until that person gets well. And it is that burden that propels you to go pray for the sick. It is that burden. It is the burden. If there is no burden, they will be begging you, come and pray now. Any gift you have, and then you are running away from people. You are running away from people. It is not a genuine gift. It's not a genuine gift. William Branham went somewhere for a crusade. And there's so much problem. And the people that brought him for that crusade, they saw that he was tired. The anointing was so much. Thousands of people. And you know, they will come one by one. He will lay hand one by one like that, like that. The man was tired. So they smuggled him away. The organizers smuggled him away and took him to a house that they felt nobody will know. Then they took him to a bedroom and told the man of God, you rest here. You rest here. When I read that story, it was so funny to me. He said, you rest there. Then his host was in the sitting room, relaxed. At least let the man of God rest. So small time, he started hearing noise at the backyard. What is happening? When he left the room and went to see what is happening, he saw that the window of that room where William Branham was open, and through the window, Q was there. He was still praying for people through the window. They traced him to where he was. They discovered where he was and the room he was in. They knocked the window. He opened and saw sick people. They were through the window. And the man said, you will kill yourself for nothing. And he said, I can't lie down here when all these people are suffering with these ailments. That is because there is a body for it. That's what I'm saying. The first thing, if you are an evangelist, the body that you have is for any sinner you see. Anytime you see anybody die, a sinner. You'll be feeling guilty as if you will account for him. Oh, if I had met this man, and I passed him day before yesterday, I should have preached to him. Then every other sinner you see, you believe every sinner should be saved. It is a teacher that will come and say, no, there is a book of life. But an evangelist will say, now you know book of life. See sinners here. For God so loved the world. But whosoever, his one is whosoever. Now teacher, they say, you see, although it is whosoever, but listen, everybody cannot make it. But evangelists, no one hear that one. It is the burden he has. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I say, it is where your gift functions, that your attention is called. It is only a tailor, a professional tailor, that can see me now and then begin to say, see one button and say, hey, the color of this button does not match. Eh? It's only a tailor that can see that now. But you and me that are not tailors, you see cloth, you say, oh, it's fine, you wear it, they go. But the tailor will see, oh, the neck should have been like this. Oh, this thread that was used. Anytime a tailor sees your cloth, he's analyzing it. If an architect enters this place now, he go look, he say, oh, these people, the thing will have, you know, should have been like this, you see. And because this edge is like this and this one, as with a worship in, they see how this place is constructed. Because that is his own calling. That is his own. But you, uncle, you know, do you know what this thing is serving? In fact, you see that, so you say, this thing for shift, go that side, make I get more space. That's all you are seeing. Praise God. So your gift goes with a burden first. If you are operating any gift and there is no burden following it, drop that. It is not your gift. It's not your gift. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One day, he will call us and he will ask us, what did you do with the gift? The gift that you had, what did you do with it? There's something about this ministry, especially those of you who are old members here. You have it recorded. You are witnesses to the fact that this has always been my message to you. Use your talent. The reason is because of the revelation I have. One day you will remember these statements I've been making. Use your talent and use it according to the word of God. Because there is a day you are going to stand before he who gave you that gift to tell him what you did with that gift. And man is so hard-hearted that no matter how you say it, like, they still believe that one day they will still explain it away before God. They still believe, I want to reach that now, God will understand. God will understand now. How you going to say, make I don't charge people before I pray for them? In give me work. I think I do business, He said it, you know, work. God will understand now. I was not cheating him. Man must survive. Man must survive. You think God will understand? Yes, now he will understand. How will he understand? He will bring another child of God who was in a worse condition than you but refused to use his gift like you did your own. That is how he will understand. That's how he will understand. And imagine that we are all coming to this world, coming back to earth. After the rapture, we are coming here to rule this earth for 1,000 years. And you have no office to occupy. Because that is the essence of the reward. He will call us one by one. He said, because you have been faithful in 10 talents that I gave you, he said, go and rule over 10 cities. It's in the millennium. It's in the millennium. See, there are two gospels that are preached. The heavenly gospel and the earthly gospel. The earthly gospel that I preach, that we preach, or preachers preach, is to tell you, this month you are all going to be millionaires. You see, if you give, you will have in abundance. Who has listened to Mike Murdock before? It's always, they're always featuring him in inspirational channel of David Marisolulo. They're always, because he's very good at the gospel of seed sowing. Oh, if you listen to that man, you will empty your bank account and send to them. That is earthly gospel. I didn't condemn it. I'm not condemning it because it is a fact. I believe in seed sowing too. But I'm saying, while you sow here, sow there also. Because one day, what you sow there, while you are here, you are going to confront it. You're going to confront it. And some people will lose here and lose there too. Then you come back for 1,000 years. Now the same church, me and you, we did. Even you gave your life to Christ before me. Eh? But now, in the millennium, now you're going to carry my bag and they follow me. There are some people that will be bag carriers for the bride. It's true. You have no authority, no single authority. You can't call one angel and say, angel, come, go and do this for me. They will look at you, which authority do you have? And go away from you. So you will have nobody around you at all. It will be you and you alone. When you are tired, you go to the feet of Jesus. Say, Papa, I don't come. Have mercy now. He will say, this is not the day of mercy. When Pastor Moses was preaching to you every time, you thought he was joking now. He said, don't charge. You say, don't forget. Forget this outside man. You have already chopped your own now on earth. You don't chop all that you are supposed to chop. So today, your bank account is empty in heaven. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. That is the reason why we are doing everything possible. A church like this to bring up the people in the right way. There is the denominational hangover that many of us are guilty of. Denominational hangover. The average Pentecostal preacher sees the gift as opportunity for him to prosper financially, man. And they were your pastors and your ministers. And you were aspiring to have the type of gifts they have, the type of ministries they have, so that you can ride big, big cars and fine cars like them by the gospel. But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of God. That is not the gospel of Christianity. It's not the Christian gospel. It's wrong. It's wrong. Go and get the message I preached on Friday night. I titled it The Trinity of Balaam. Those of you who don't come from Vich. Satan has Trinity. God too has Trinity. There's Trinity of God. That is God manifesting in three offices. Not three different entities, but one God in three offices. Satan too has Trinity. Satan has his Trinity. He too presents himself in three different offices, not three different entities, because Satan is one. And what is the Trinity of God? It's the Father in the Son. And as the Holy Ghost, that is God's Trinity. What is Satan's Trinity? Is John 10:10. The thief coming up to steal, kill, and destroy. That's Satan's Trinity. To steal, kill, and destroy. Satan kills, Satan steals, Satan destroys. That is his manifestations. One spirit, Satan. In three offices. Balaam too has three offices. Three scriptures. The story of Balaam is in Numbers 22. Then we have Peter made reference to him. Jude made reference to him. And John in the book of Revelation also made reference to him. They refer to him. They say the way of Balaam, the error of Balaam, and the doctrine of Balaam. Trinity of Balaam. Get the tape. I explain all that. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God wants to express himself. He gave us those gifts. Allow him to express himself. That is what the manifestation of the Spirit is. And that is what we've been talking about all these past series we've been taking. Believing that we can conclude it today. First Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Can you see it now? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every one of us to do what? Is to profit with it. We are to make profit. And it is that profit that you will declare when we come before the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture. You will declare the profit that you use your gift to bring before him. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And just by way of summary, if I explain each of them, I said the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom there. Wisdom is given for two main reasons. It is given for the purpose of administration to lead the children of God to organize the church of Jesus Christ. And secondly, it is given to solve problems. That gift is activated whenever there is a problem. And that is why Apostle Paul was rebuking the Corinthian church for going before unbelievers when they have problems to solve in the church. He believes that there should be people of wisdom in the church. That gift should be there. Hallelujah. It is a shame, for instance, for a Christian who goes about seeking divination. Go to Babalawo, fortune tellers. You want to find out your money means for office, and you want to find out who Tifam or where it is. Then you are going to Babalawo to make incantation and go to familiar spirit to seek that for you. It's a shame because that gift is in the church. It's in the church. It may not be in your own church, but it can be in another church. In the same body of Christ. That is what wisdom is given for. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. What is the word of knowledge? The word of knowledge is the ability to know something. And I've told you, it comes in four ways. It comes by dream. Dream is a gift. It comes by vision. Sometimes you close your eye, you see something like a television before you. Or sometimes with your eyes wide open, you will see it. It is vision. And the third one is you will hear a voice. You are just going and you will hear a voice talking to you. The ability to know something. And the fourth one is an inspiration, like a thought, but it's not an ordinary thought. Praise the Lord. It's not an ordinary thought. The Holy Ghost ministering that to you. He's a pastor. Come. When you are a pastor, you come here. Let us know now. Why did they sit down there? I can come and receive this pastor to insist there, please. Go and sit down where you are supposed to sit. It's coming up. Praise God. Sit down where you belong. Amen. So that all falls under the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The light was kept striking there. The light kept striking where he was sitting. That's why I came to see who it was. Praise God. I told you something about the move of God that will soon take place. God is preparing us for it. And I remember recently in the course of this study, I was telling you something. That this move of God, that God will move, it's not a move where people will come and gather and then they are expecting one man of God to come and demonstrate some power. No, it will be an outpour of the Spirit upon the bride members, not Bride Assembly Church. See, church, listen. Anytime I say bride, people think I'm advertising Bride Assembly. I'm talking about the bride of Jesus Christ. There are people that are members of Bride Assembly Church, but they are not members of the bride of Jesus Christ. I hope you believe that. It's true now. Because the bride of Jesus Christ, for instance, they fear God, they will not fornicate. The bride of Jesus Christ, they fear God, they will never commercialize their gift. The bride of Jesus Christ, they are not selfish. They don't get jealous. When they see your gift, they will encourage you, they will not kill it. That is the bride of Jesus Christ. But there are people in this church, jealousy now food their body. Hatred now food their body. They will never pray for you unless you give them money. And they are here, they are fornicators. But they are members of Bride Assembly of Pastor Thomas. They are members of your church, Pastor Thomas. But they are not the members of the bride of Jesus Christ. They are the members of Pastor Thomas' church. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That move of God, when God will release that anointing, it will be on the bride members. One by one, when you come among them, hallelujah. When you come among them, and that has been my understanding, revelation of a true ministry. My understanding of what a true ministry should look like is that ministry must not revolve around any particular man. No. We've done that several times. I know people who have come to this church and they were here, some of them for 1 month, they didn't know who was the pastor of this church. And yet every service the pastor was in the church. I know of a brother that said there are what he was looking out for. You know, all of you have your own things you are looking for that finally made you to be a member of this church. Hallelujah. And he said, the first Tuesday he came, he said, the person leading the prayers, he expected after leading the prayers now, is the pastor that will take over. He said, it was one brother that took over. He was saying, that is the pastor. That must be the pastor. Small time. The man hand microphone again to another person. Another person came, minister. Small time. Another one came and preached. He said, that must be the pastor. It was Ike that preached that day. He said, this must be the pastor. The way he's preaching like this, it must be the pastor. I said, small time again. One prophet collected microphone and was discerning. He said, ah. So he had to ask the person by his side, this church no get pastor. that is how a true church should be. You don't go to church and all your mind is on a bag. The day Pastor Moses doesn't come to church, then you don't go to church again. The day you hear say, Geo travel, you say, hey, what now they go to again? Geo don't travel. That Geo built that church around himself. And the church of Jesus Christ is not like that. It's not like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I made that statement that day, and I said, when that time will come, I say, somebody will direct you and say, go to Bride Assembly in Jesha. You have so-so problem. Then you are coming. You will reach the gate there. The security man at the gate, you will ask him, please, is this Bride Assembly? You say, yeah, this is Bride Assembly. Oh, there's no program today. Yeah, there's no program. You can come tomorrow, Tuesday in the morning. And then he will say, but brother, the Lord is telling me this is your problem. The Lord is telling me this is your problem. The Lord is telling me this is your name. The Lord is telling me this is where you are coming from. From the gate, from the gate. From the gate. Do you believe it will happen? Eh? Do you believe it will happen? It will happen, and it has begun now. Hallelujah. For God to confirm. Do you know last week Sunday I said somebody fell down under anointing and lost his two phones. Who remember that last Sunday? That was last Sunday. And I made an announcement. I said, please, somebody fell down under anointing and his phone is missing. Please, if you took the phone under anointing, please return it. Amen. And then somebody, the coordinator told the chief security officer. The chief security officer quickly came while the service, just before we closed, and called all the people around where the phone fell. Called all the people sitting down to his office and said, that phone fell down around your side. Who among you took the phone? And all of them said, no, I don't take. For the first time in his life, he said he stood and a voice told him, see the person, I'm with this. Amen. He said, when he heard the voice, he turned to see who they talk. He didn't see anybody. So he said, he just repeated what he had. Now you carry the phone. And the man was arguing, not be me. He said, he told him, he was sitting down there, and he said, what's your name? What's your name? The man called one name. That voice told him again, it's a lie. This is his name. Call his name. And he repeated, he said, it's a lie. This is your name. The man do like this. How did this man take no? Glory! Hallelujah. He said, he asked him again. Because he said, at that moment, fear was catching because this is the first time he was having that experience. And he said, he was thinking in his heart, make a law accuse somebody wrongly. Which can't be this? He said the voice spoke again and told him, he's just out from prison. He's a thief. He's just out from prison. He said, he repeated, you are just out from prison. Is it not true? He said the voice spoke again. He said, he took the phone and hid it in an uncompleted building. He said, he told him, say, bring the phone, no. You hit the phone. He was repeating what he was hearing. For the first time. Hallelujah. Later on, the young man excused him outside and say, not true. Now wait till they pray for me that. Now wait till I come be that. May God deliver me. Now prison yard. I just come from now. Now thief at the thief. And then took him to where men fellowship put those blocks. And he hid the phones there. And brought out the phones and gave it to him. Praise the Lord. For the first time. So anytime your property means for phone, for church, go to CSO. He will arrest the person. He will tell you the name. and where the person kept it. Hallelujah. That is our chief security officer. And remember, men, we went to the camp. That is where he received that anointing. Eh? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. During the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when I stood on that altar and made that pronouncement, he was standing as a security by the altar, near the gate there, where he's always standing. I was looking, the anointing carried him. Wah, wah. I was saying in my heart, I said, "Chai, this anointing, not the respect age." And he began to prophesy. We rushed the microphone to him, and he prophesied there. When he finished, I asked him later, he said he didn't even know. I said, "What happened to you? What happened to you?" We all heard him. He said that he doesn't know that. He knew that he stood with his supervisor, the security supervisor with him there, the police officer that works with him. He said that when we put the table for the communion, he said he saw some men that dressed in suits. They sat round the communion table and they were eating. When they finished, they stood up. He was watching. He thought that maybe we don't change the style. The ministers, they chop before going. So they finished. They were going out. They were standing by the gate. He told his supervisor, "Give chance. People are coming. Give chance. Make them pass." The supervisor said, "Nobody, they pass." Hallelujah. He has become another man. Another man. So he said, it was when those men, he finally pushed him out, pushed his cigarette, said, "Give them chance for them to pass." That is all that he remembered. Hallelujah. And when it was after they passed, maybe one of them just touched him, say, "Receive." So he said he doesn't know what happened again. He only noticed that he was feeling very weak when he sat down. He didn't know they lifted him up to sit down. And then he was telling them, say, "I don't know how I'm feeling. I don't know how I'm feeling." He was telling them they should take him to the room. Let him recover. He thought he's sick. He thought he's falling sick. Maybe hypertension, one catcher. He doesn't understand which kind of thing happened. Because he didn't know what happened. He didn't even know he prophesied. He didn't know. Praise the Lord. Then the supervisor told him what happened. "You fell under anointing and then you were prophesying." He said, "Me?" He said, "Not you. Even me, you have become another man." Somebody here, after today, there will be a visitation. What they know you before, you will suddenly change. That's what I believe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the, what he was operating was the gift of the word of knowledge. He was hearing a voice. That's what I'm trying to explain. Which verse are we now? Hallelujah. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same spirit. Faith here is a supernatural boldness that comes upon you. When that boldness comes upon you, nothing looks impossible before you until that anointing leaves you. It's faith. To another, the gifts, if you notice, there is S there, plural. Gifts, not gift. Gifts of healing by the same spirit, because healing can come through many means. Some will feel fire. Some, you know, whatever, different means. Several other means. The important thing is, once you have that feeling, you pray for that person, they receive healing. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. Once you stand up to minister, miracles will take place. To another, prophecy. This prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is different from the office of a prophet. A prophet is one that can inquire. You can go to him and say, please, I want to know this. He has the ability to go in the spirit before the Lord and inquire. That is a prophet. But here, this prophecy is what you saw our CSO operated. And so many brothers and sisters here operate that. The anointing will just come upon you like that, and then you begin to speak as a gift of prophecy. And what's another one? To another, discerning of spirits. That gift is placed in the church to check the spirits by which people are operating. It is the ability to know which spirit is in operation. When somebody is prophesying, you can know whether it is by the Spirit of God, or it is a familiar spirit, or the person is speaking by his own human spirit. The ability to know which spirit is in operation, you will know. And what's the other one? To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Tongues, it is a gift. The ability to speak in an unknown tongue is a gift. And remember, he said diverse kinds, that is, you will not be speaking only one particular thing every time. You have gift of song. Here makasaka. Tomorrow again, here makasaka. Every time, here masakasa. Every time, here makasaka. That is not a gift. Diverse kinds of tongue. Today, it may be Spanish language you'll be speaking. Tomorrow, it may be Arabian language, Arab. Another day, it may be Calabar language you'll speak, and you'll be Hausa man. Diverse kinds of tongue. And I expect this church to be so grounded in this knowledge that a lot of things that I still see happening should stop. This hangover. Some people use tongues for exclamation. When they are happy. Come, brother. I'm giving you 50,000. Hey, pastor. Here masakama. Where is it? That's what the Pentecostals do, because they don't even know what they are doing. And you do it in a church like this. That's why I say some people are in Bride Assembly Church, but they are not in the Bride of Jesus Christ. Kick that nonsense out. Every one of these gifts is a manifestation of the Spirit. God is using it to express himself, to express an attribute of himself, to let the people know that there is God somewhere. The healing gift is for the whole world to know that with man it is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. They say they have no cure for HIV. They have no cure for cancer. They have no cure for certain diseases. They have done all the tests. Doctors say there is no hope. Then, when you bring the person to the church, that gift, hallelujah, this sign shall follow them that believe. Praise the Lord. Why will he come down by that gift and heal? So that man can know that with God, nothing is impossible. Praise God. That's what it is all about. Why? Why will you come here every Tuesday here with blessed water for people who are sick to drink? Nobody touched, the minister. No, we didn't take the water to somewhere and make some invocation and condition. Now you buy them by yourself, come. And then say, lift it up. And then after prayer, you say, drink it. And then when you finish drinking, you hear testimonies following. By that, God uses that gift to let the people know there is a God that heals. That's the purpose. That's the motive. So when you are speaking in tongue, it must be a supernatural action. And every gift that you operate, it cannot just operate anyhow. You have to be in the right atmosphere, in the right mood, in the right setting. Amen. And that is why all these gifts come out more in an atmosphere of worship like this. Then God comes down to speak to his people through prophecy. To give you vision, the word of knowledge, because somebody has prayed and he wants to answer back that person. Praise the Lord. That is what the gift is all about. So, to one, diverse kinds of tongues. If the tongue you are speaking, now only one, that is the one your pastor taught you in your church, drop it. That is your pastor's tongue, not the tongue of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. William Branham kept that saying, that statement, I repeat here quite often. He said, people go to church, and instead of receiving the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, they receive the spirit of their pastor. Why? So if your pastor is palming his hair, all the brothers will be palming their hair. You see? If the pastor dresses with baggy trousers, all the brothers there, they'll be dressing with baggy trousers. If the pastor normally ties his belt on the stomach, all of them will tie their belt in the stomach. If the pastor, anytime he's praying, he's shaking his head. Hey, mama. Hey, Sarah. Hey, mama. Everybody will be praying like that. And hey, mama. Hey. They're imitating the pastor. You have received the spirit of your pastor. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger. On earth I long to be like him, my faithful Savior. How rich his favor. On earth I long to be like him, to be like him, to be like Jesus. Yes, sir. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life journey, from earth to glory, I only want to be like you. The next songs are going like this. Serene and holy, obedient, lowly, on earth I long, yes sir, to be like you. By faith forgiven, and heir of heaven, on earth I long to be like everybody now, him, to be like him,
to be like Jesus,
be like Jesus, not your pastor,
be like Jesus,
don't be like your pastor, no, be like him, be like Jesus. From earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. Don't be like any man. Strive to be like Jesus. Don't be like your pastor. Don't talk like your pastor. Don't preach like your pastor. Don't act like your pastor. Because before you know what now. Oh, I love Pastor Moses. I love Pastor Moses. You go and shave Gorimapa. So that your hair will be like his own. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.